Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Gary Norris Gray. Call in at 646-727-3649. Thank you, Black Athletes, Sports Network, and the VASNNewsroom.com for sponsoring the Gray Leopard Code. Send news and information to glcgray@gmail.com. Got to listen to the brothers on the African American Athlete Show.com with Michael Robeson and Ricky Hansen, 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 Eastern Time. Tuesday nights on blogtalkradio.com. The Mighty OVA, formerly from WUFO 1080 Buffalo, New York, will start their season in the Minor Football League with the Rochester Chargers. Also, check out his SoundCloud podcast every week. At 11 Pacific, 2 Eastern Time, Soul Tree Radio, In the Raw, with Michael Lewis Ingram, with hard political and social sports news. Sunday nights, it's the Musical Mindstream after the Music Box Hour. On Wednesday nights, it's the Political Stir Fry at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific Time. At 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern Time, Sunday nights, listen to Brother Anthony Johnson on The Anthony Johnson Show, sending brotherly love over the airwaves and political food for the soul from the city of Philadelphia. Our sponsors, the New England Informer magazine, Doreen Wade, CEO, Boston, Massachusetts, good news for the Black community. Young star Travis Singleton with his Kicks for Grades in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. If your kids are getting A's in school, then contact Travis on Facebook.com. Also check out his program, The Sneaker Report, as he covers the Oklahoma City Thunder and Boston Celtics, as well as the other NBA teams. Remembering Roland Rogers, CEO of BASN in New York City, and the family of BASN writers and broadcasters. Cannot forget the 707 and 609 for their support. Be a sponsor. Check in the Cove Caravan. Email glcgray@gmail.com. Join the Cove Caravan and the Soul Patrol on Facebook.com. Please visit our website, www.BASNNewsroom.com. Call the Gray Leopard Cove at 646-727-3649.
Thank you, Mother. And it's good to have you on the 1000th show of GLC.
Yes, it was my pleasure, my privilege. Thank you.
I'm going to try to get you recorded so we can have you on every week. So you be a staple of the show.
I would love that. That would make me very, very happy. Absolutely. And even though I won't be doing the introduction, I will still be listening and rooting you on for doing a great job.
Okay.
And listening to the
tomorrow,
music box.
Tomorrow night.
Definitely.
I have a great contest tomorrow night.
Oh,
it's
we'll be
Marvin
listening.
Gaye against Marvin Jr. Am I right?
Oh, what? Oh, my word. Well, I'll be listening, that's for sure. Listening and enjoying the great music. Well, keep doing what you're doing, Gary. You're doing a great job, and God bless you.
Thank you.
And the listeners as well. God bless
weekend.
The listeners. Thank you so much.
Night.
You have a wonderful day. See, I'll be listening. Take care. God bless everyone.
Might as well put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
I'm boss is black athlete. That's why we selling our peace. Peace of peace. Mentally, physically, and spiritually. So all I want to do is thank my God. We work so hard. Came to the ball like athletes.
Life through the eyes of a black athlete. To thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. To thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete.
Now, basketball is my favorite of all sports, because there's so many black athletes that ever blessed the court. Will Chamberlain must be the most famous, scored 100 points in the game, and no wonder who the players, El Shabella, Bill Russell, and Connie Hawkins, who's the best to play the sport, Dr. J or Michael Jordan. Played above the rim when they score, pumped in the air when they score, made moves like that.
As we move along,
2021. Can we do 20 more years? I don't know. We're going to try. We got news of the week. But the Friday Night Lights. The Jags are on the video of Tim Tebow at tight end position. They didn't show me anything. I mean, he didn't say anything to me. Tight end. Okay. Will he make it a tight end? I doubt it. Will he get paid? Yeah. The Vegas Knights and the Minnesota Wild season. With a 6-2 victory and a hat trick by Janmark over Janmark. Golden Knights move on to play the Colorado Rockies. This is Colorado Avalanche. Which everybody wanted to see in the beginning of the year. Now you got it. On Sunday afternoon, the Vegas Golden Knights and the Colorado Avalanche will play game one in Las Vegas. The Hawks take on the New York Knicks. They beat the Knicks 105-94. With the balance going in the Hawks, Derrick Rose, the old man, gets 30 points. Not enough for the New York Knicks. Because the New York Knicks.
Yes, sir. Go Knicks.
Let's go, Knicks.
We are the New York Knicks.
Uh-huh.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks.
Go Knicks.
We are the New York Knicks.
Say go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Say go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
We coming to you live from the garden. It's been 40 long years and we're starving. But mad props to Amari for starting the party. The Mellos filled the plate and Tyson's taking out the garbage. Yeah, it's the new look Knicks. We brought along Kid, he's got a bottle of tricks. Cammy and Kurt are back to fight. Cause once you're a Knick,
you're a Knick for life.
This is the year we get first place.
What?
No Vec for three.
Even with no space.
Try and take it to the basket. Tyson will leave you in a casket. And if your defense makes a mistake, then bam! JR dunks in your face. This is a team you don't want to miss.
We are New York.
We are the New York Knicks.
Say go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Say go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Say go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Say go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Hello world, please welcome these new look Knicks. Yeah, Woody's got the boys back to basics. Don't leave JR alone. Ray and Tyson reminiscing of Stockton and Malone. Last year was a struggle on that playoff bubble. Thank God we got small, signed that discount double. And Melo's got J's for days. And the chips a lot cause he plays like he does in 2K. If veterans get you rings, then Sheed, Thomas, and Kid better bring me some bling. Cause it costs $1.50 just to sit in the stands to watch the wins tick quick like Pablo's hands. Us Knicks fans got swag like snapbacks. It's a wrap once we get chump and stat back. So put three to your head, one to the sky. Knicks 2012, the ball don't lie.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Say go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Say go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Say go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
And the life is flies, talking all that jive. Reminding us back when the Knicks showed pride. This is the time to bring it back, yo. We got Shumpert, Brewer, Sheed, and Melo with the Knicks. And you're gonna need an army to stop the pick and roll. With Felton and Amari, we draw charges and we set picks.
We are New York.
We are the New York Knicks.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Ha ha.
Let's go Knicks.
The New York Knicks. With Mr. Randall as their new star. The 2021 version of the New York Knicks. Thank you for making it relevant again. Moving on. Tatum gets another 50 points as the Celtics beat the Brooklyn Nets 125-119 in Boston TD Garden to take a 2-1 lead. This game could get ugly if Boston wins on Sunday night. This is going to get very interesting. The Mavs start out early with a 15-point lead in the first half. But the Los Angeles Clippers claw back, clawed their way back into the series. With Leonard and George getting 30 points each. The Clippers win 118-108. Doncic scored 44 points. For Dallas, not enough, as the Clippers cut the lead in half 2-1 for the game on Sunday night. Shohei Ohtani missed the ball game on Thursday night as Ohtani got into a traffic jam. We got out of his car, went to the bar station, went and took the bar train to the Coliseum. I don't know what bar it is. It's Bay Area Rapid Transit, BART. So, Ohtani gets to the game late on Thursday night. Friday night. It was NorCal against SoCal. NorCal won Friday night. And the Giants beat the Dodgers. And the Angels lose to the A's. So NorCal has the upper hand Friday night. They resume play again today. In Los Angeles and in Oakland. It's right night. Well, thank all you guys for 1,000 shows started in 2008-2009. We're still here. Still rocking the house. Tomorrow night. We will do a Big Bang musical tournament. The men's division with Marvin Gaye against Marvin Jr. That should be interesting. I said, welcome to the Wild Wild West. When gun deaths in America has skyrocketed. Between 2020 and 2021, the state of Texas approved a measure to allow Texans to carry handguns without a license, no background check, or training. I mean, come on. How stupid can we get? 3 more states are thinking about doing the very same thing. Really, and this is the result of this. On Thursday morning, a guy walked into the VTA at the door to the San Jose Police Department. And the Santa Clara County Sheriff's Department. He knew what was going to happen. He did anyway. 9 people were minding their own business, going to work, did not come home on Thursday night. We had to do something about these guns and how people get these guns. We can dance around all you want to about First Amendment rights, Second Amendment rights, but this is getting out of hand. In Oakland, 58 murders already. It's only May. Come on, guys. We can do better than this. So Texas, you're being stupid for doing what you're doing. You're actually allowing Americans to get handguns without a license or background check or training. Y'all want the Wild Wild West? You got it. This bad Tuesday was the 1 year anniversary of the George Floyd death. And why is the wonder African Americans are running a treadmill? How much has changed in the United States? Did the police really change their ways? Have we undergone police reform? The answer we know. There's a different set of rules for African Americans when it comes to police and American conduct when they meet. The Floyd family went to the White House, met President Biden, and Mr. Biden has stated that there will be reform. But he was one of the senators that created the three strikes rule and put more African Americans in jail at any time. But what are you doing? I don't know. I see that there's a yin to the yang about this. At the same time, the very next morning, the first African-American female had a press conference at the White House, the first time in 1991. Kareem Jean Bure held her press conference on the economy Wednesday at 1 o'clock Eastern Time. There you go. The yin and the yang of African Americans in the United States. We have got to get control of this gun control stuff. On Wednesday, President Trump reportedly about him offering a generous cash to block the New England Spygate investigation. Now, you guys know where I'll go with this. If President Trump is involved in this stuff, but the owner of the New England Patriots, who won the Super Bowl, by the way, that same year, I'm just saying, we got Anthony McLean, former student, editor-in-chief of BSN. How you doing, sir?
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. Da, 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 da.
Congrats on your on your 1,000th birthday, Cam.
Thank you, thank you. Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. So how does it feel? How does it feel? How does it feel to be older than Mel Brooks?
Yes, sir. Tony, the episode of Spygate. The reports are leaking out now that Mr. Trump tried to offer money to a senator to block the investigation. What's going on here?
It's something he's done. For, you know, he's that's how he's always done things. He's trying to buy his way out of stuff, and there's always been willing folks that are willing to go down that road with him.
Man,
and that's what's crazy.
It's insanity, and we know what Super Bowl that year too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They all sort of hang in the same circles. It's funny how, you know, they literally and figuratively had him dead to rights in a Jeffrey Epstein sort of scenario, but he escapes it scot free, literally.
I don't know how this is going to end. I think it's going to end very pretty.
Well, you know, we'll see how it plays itself out. I would like to think that the populace won't let this happen again. But, you know, again, you can't, you know, with the way things have played out, it's never quite played out that way, and that's unfortunate. We just have to, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, we just have to I know it's simplistic, but, you know, a lot of times we just have to pray and also just look in on each other.
I know the state of Texas in their divine wisdom.
That's an oxymoron if I ever heard one.
State of Texas has the bill. Gary Gray or Andy McLean can walk into a gun store, buy a gun with no references, no training, no license. That's okay.
Yeah. It just adds more fuel to the fire.
And I'm thinking, okay, you were a complete wild, wild west. This is what you're gonna get.
Yeah, well, it's never ended out there, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know,
craziness.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It definitely is.
How far is this gonna go?
I have no idea. I mean, it's you know, we've already we've already seen how far they are willing to go in regards to the whole thing on this, on the January 6th. So,
yep. And they're not going to investigate. What's wrong with you?
They don't want to investigate at all. Yeah. They're gonna, you know, again, this is where the alleged president has to come in and be a president and override all of that stuff.
I don't know about you, but I would like to see President Donald J. Trump arrested for murder one. This is the reason why I say this. In January, January 2020, he was told about the COVID-19 virus, what it could do and what it could not do. His deemed president did not do anything. So 500, half a million people died, including my mother, Mrs. Gray. I like to see him up a murder. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's you know, they won't. Unfortunately, they won't. That's the sad part. At the very least, he should be an accessory.
Yes. And this party, like you said, what was it, like on Michael's show earlier? The Republican Party is on the verge of a two-party tier.
Oh, it's already there.
Yeah.
Yep. It's already there. It's pretty much already there.
A party called the Whigs. The Whig Party was the strongest party in America at the time. The Whigs were pro-slavery at the time. A candidate named Abraham Lincoln, was a former Whig member. When President Lincoln became president, the Whig Party went berserk. It went so bad, they lost hundreds of seats all over the country. But the Whig Party finally disintegrated into the Republican Party, which it is today. There is no Whig Party. Well, guess what? History is repeating itself right now.
Republican Party is doing exactly
what the Whig Party did 150 years ago.
And, you know, that was like, you know, and what was going on in the 6th, to me, is just like those 13 Confederate states secede in the Union.
Yep. And I believe we have 14 states right now. We do the same thing. They would do the same thing. Right now. They would.
Yeah.
But I got to do this for you.
Meet some Mets. Step right up and greet some Mets. Bring your kitty, bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life, because the Mets are really socking the ball, knocking those home runs over the wall.
Everybody
That song lies. That song lies, by the way, but that's a whole other story.
I'm a happy camper for one day. The New York Mets are winning. The New York Knicks are in the playoffs. The Islanders are in the semi-quarterfinals. And this is good for New York.
Yeah, we had the Eve Empire
over across the way.
Well, hey, I don't acknowledge that. But it's what's past is prologue in a sense, you know. Now, the fact that the Mets are doing it with basically half of their team, and the pitchers, it's been a slow struggle, but
I know
it's easy to say this now, but I didn't really count on seeing him pitch this year. I really didn't. I really think that I don't know if his career is over or what have you, but I did not count on him being in a prominent role this year because, you know, with the injuries that he's coming off of, you know, let's put it this way, he's never going to be the same guy that he was, you know, early in his career. And again, it's not, you know, he had a modicum of success. I think, again, they want, you know, he was supposed to be the guy when they made the trade to get him, and you know, he's shown glimpses, but it's a lot of it has just been a lot of, you know, teases and stops and starts and what have you. The guy I'm hoping that they do get back before the year's over with is Carrasco. I think Carrasco is going to be a big key. But the thing is, you know, right now they just have to have the team play. You know, they just have to get the guys off the injury list. You know, 16. You know, was it 16 as of now are on there. You know, and it's all various, you know, kind of ailments and what have you, and. A lot of people think, oh, well, the National League East is weak. That's the only reason why they're still, quote-unquote, first place. I can't really get a gauge on how good or how bad they are because I haven't seen the full product at all this year.
Well, did you see when Matt Harvey came back to New York?
You got to remember that whole class of guys, that whole pitchers, even in their salad years, they only went through the rotation without a change. I think only once or twice when they were all on the roster. I'm talking, you know, Harvey, DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler, and Steven Matz. There was only a couple times during that, say, three, four-year period where they all didn't miss a turn in the rotation. So there's always been – let's put it this way. It's not like it was Generation K where they all just, you know, bombed out. You know, you got two Cy Youngs out of DeGrom. DeGrom is still arguably the best pitcher in the game. Taijuan Walker has been great. He pitches. He actually comes off tonight and pitches. Taijuan Walker has been a very good acquisition. Now they haven't had Lugo all year, and I think the one great thing is that it appears that Edwin Diaz has finally gotten over his
which has been.
I mean, you know, he had a couple of hiccups, but for the most part, he's still. I mean, he's still 8-8. He's still 8-8 in save situations. So that leaves. And I think the thing with him is that you can see that he's pitching with a lot more confidence. You know, first pitch strikes, not trusting. You know, I think a lot of what was going on with him is that he wasn't trusting his stuff. And I actually do think that James McCann has had a lot to do with that because he's a very aggressive catcher behind the plate there calling pitches. And he's just, you know, I think he sort of forced him, not so much forced him, but I think he just said, hey, you know, you got to go with your best stuff. A lot of times when he was getting beat, it was not with his best stuff. He was getting beat with his secondary pitches, but now he's there's movement, and again there's a confidence thing because see, you know, relief pitching, especially as a closer, it's a you know, the physical part is the easy part.
No, mental,
the mental part is what the hardest thing that most people go through. Look, when Rivera would come out there, everybody and their mama knew he was throwing the cutter, and he threw it anyway. And broke bats and all that other stuff. But he just had the confidence of, like, saying, hey, you're going to have to beat me with this. And I think that's the biggest difference so far in him is that he's allowing himself to, you know, if he's going to, quote, unquote, get beat, he's going to get beat on his best pitch, not his second or third best pitch. And he's not pitching, you know, the thing with him was he would always be pitching from behind, 0-1, you know, 1-0, 2-0, 3-1. And, you know, one of the things that Tim McCarver used to say back in the day was baseball's about first, you know, first pitch, first at bat, first, and, you know, whatever. And everything about him was always just there was bad body language and there was a lack of confidence. Now, a lot of that, now, I guess to a certain extent, and I guess we don't really put that into focus, a lot of it, I think, had to do with him changing leagues. But I think it was, like I said, I think it was more mental than physical because he always had the stuff. His stuff was always, you know, he could do 100 easy, but it didn't have anything with it, in a sense.
What is going on with Joe Girardi in Philadelphia? What is he doing, man?
Well, you know, Joe. You know, look, see, Joe. You know, Joe's like a lot of these guys, where, you know, he only has confidence in a couple of pitches. I mean, basically, after Aaron Nola, he really does not have the confidence in his starting staff, and I can understand that because this, you know, although Wheeler, to no surprise, I think Wheeler is doing well there. I think he definitely needed to get out of New York, but. A lot of it with them is that they've just been – the Phillies are just a sort of a middle-of-the-road – right now they're the middle-of-the-road team. And see, their pitching staff, especially even though the bullpen has pitched a little bit better this year, but see
– Girardi's saying that he's not telling the press about the injury that he's not going to tell anybody about the injury that –
Well, look, you know, we've all seen Belichick skirt that rule too, as well, but see, in some instances, like what the Mets are going through, you can't really hide it because guys are dropping, you know, they're losing guys, but you know, to me, you wind up just hurting yourself more than you do. The media, because you know, with all, especially in a big media town right now, you know, you can't hide that stuff. There's only so much you can hide, but you can't.
Yeah. Well, Gerard always tried to skirt stuff around him.
Well, I think he's a lot. You know, he's one of these guys where his bullpen could be burned out by August, but with the way he's been using them. There's guys that literally pitch damn near every day for him. And you just can't, you know, whereas just in May, and these guys could be burned out by August. That's the biggest, you know, I know myself, that's the biggest problem I have with the Mets manager, is that I'm worried that he's going to burn these guys out. I mean, in some instances, you just got to let some of these guys just pitch, you know?
I think the modern day pitcher is totally different than what it was 20 years ago. 20 years ago, you went 7, 8, 9 innings, and you stayed in there now.
I hate the phrase quality start.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, and again, it's try not to be the bitter man in the barbershop thing, but you know, back in the day, guys would do. I mean, you would have to have an order from Congress to take some of these guys out of the games. Now they're willing to do 6 or 7 innings just to say, okay, good job.
Well, quality start is significant. You know where all this stuff came from? I started looking back in the 80s and 90s. This started in Oakland with the A's.
Well, it's a bunch of teams. I mean, the A's are probably prominent in the sense because of the whole, you know, analytics and everything. But I think it's a bunch of guys. You know, Tony La Russa comes to mind, and of course he was a former A's manager. The whole thing of, you know, the bullpen is more important than the starters, and I never got that. I mean, you still have to, you know, look, one of the reasons why guys like, yeah, and, you know, the whole thing of the opener when, you know, you're basically, you know, to me, that does more damage than good.
Yeah. We got Reggie in the house. What's up, Reg?
Hey, G, return of the Mac. The Mac is back. What's up, Mac? And I must say, I'm still trying to figure out who are those people that were imposters as Atlanta Hawks fan. I kept scratching my head like, what the ham sandwich going on here, man?
See, I think they all told him that it was going to be a Cat Williams concert afterwards. That's why they was able to. That's why they showed up.
I couldn't believe it, but you know what gets me upset is that you had some people in Michael Westbrook. I mean, when Westbrook got a popcorn thrown at him, saying, oh, well, it's just popcorn. I mean, the arrogance of some of these people that call into these talk shows show me it's like Dred Scott decision. As long as you are circus animals and you can entertain us, we want you to entertain us till we get tired. And once we get tired, then we'll go ahead and walk away from you. But it's just sad news. And what happened in Utah? To you earlier, say you said that incident in Utah.
Yeah, there was. I think there was an incident in Utah that they went after a couple of the ball players. But see, we've seen this at Utah before, and sadly,
oh, yeah.
You know. But see, you know, I said this earlier. You know, we're not that far removed from the Malice of the Palace, and given the political climate now. With folks, with these white folks literally and figuratively thinking that they can do stuff and get away with it, you know. Because, see, even with the guy in Philly and the guy in New York, neither one of them was season ticket holders. So it's not like it's going to really hurt in the long run, you know.
Yeah, it's typical. You have and it's in the nosebleed. So, you know, you got clowns that just walk up, buy a ticket off the street or whatever, go in, they get their 5 minutes of fame. Now people sit up there and say, okay, fine, you know, guess what? I'm on TV. Nothing happened.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something right now. And this is no joke. In the next 2 weeks, if this happens again, these NBA players are going to go up to smack the hell out of them.
And they'll be justified, to be quite honest with you.
No, I'm being serious here because they're acting.
Not at all. Well, even with the yelling, you gotta, you know, there's a certain amount, there's a certain,
yes,
you know, with that as well.
Well,
but it's gonna come to a point where there's no return.
See, this goes right back to Donald Trump. Donald Trump is open the door and snakes go out. They go out in droves. In droves.
Yeah.
Me, I don't understand how in the ham sandwich this man, I know they say they got a criminal investigation going this against the enterprise. It's like John Gotti. My thing is that you talking about taking down a president, former president of the United States. Do you know how you got to have all your I's dotted and your T's crossed just even approach this to a grand jury? Come on, man. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not going to be no slam dunk. It's not going to be easy.
Donald J. Trump should be in jail for murder. Murder what?
They can't even get
back. I've been there, Reggie. This man should be underneath the jail, okay?
There's no complaints out of
him. Somebody tells you you have a problem. Somebody tells you that this problem is going to kill thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
That same person tells me if you do X, Y, and Z, you shut down on the desk. What does he do? Nothing. So half a million people are gone for no reason. Or they hit stupidity.
I agree.
You get no complaints out of me. I mean, you know, this is what
you've been doing. The Republican Party is shame on you for doing what you're doing.
Well, Gary, that's why I got to take issue with you in that, because these people want money, power, and they have crossed the line, and Biden had nerd to say they're going to have an epiphany, and they're going to sit back, and they're going to come to their senses. No. Pretty much saying, no. They show you exactly who they are. Now,
yeah,
why people say they have to epiphany, it ain't going to happen.
Mitch McConnell needs to be fired.
How you going to fire him?
You have Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's a complete idiot. I mean, complete idiot.
My question again, guys, who's going to fire him when he gets that reelected?
Get out of here!
But, Gary, again, I'm not trying to give you a hard time, but who's going to fire Mitch McConnell when he just got reelected? Overwhelmingly in the state.
Well, I told you earlier, if you read the history books, and there's a party called the Whig Party did exactly the same thing that the Republican Party is doing right now. And Reggie, can you buy anybody for the Whig Party?
Hey, I know how many years ago, and I know right now, you don't have the same money and power back then that you have now. It's a whole different situation now.
Anyway,
it's the whiteness, of America that they're fighting against. Yeah, well, welcome to America. This is who America is. America took this country by rape, force, and they had the lowest of the lowest to come in and take into this country.
That's true. And we learned the thing. If America tells the truth about history, they'd be ashamed of themselves. That's why they don't tell the truth about the history. You know, 1921, they burned Tulsa, Oklahoma down to the ground. Black Wall Street, right? And they tried to cover it up. You know, I did not know about Black Wall Street until I got the SIU University of Colorado. I don't know anything about Black Wall Street. If you try to hide things, it's going to come out anyway. And there it is.
Yeah, you know, just preaching to the choir, guy.
Well, let's get back this morning. I love the way the Milwaukee Bucks are playing right now. I don't think anybody's gonna beat these guys.
Well, they seem to be peaking at the right time. Yeah, they seem to be peaking at the right time. Did they end it today with Miami?
Play later on tonight.
Oh, okay. But
tomorrow.
Yeah, but they're peaking at the right time. I think that's the thing with them. And the pressure, I think also because you know, a couple of years ago when they had the best record, there was the pressure on them to live up to the one seed. Now there's not as much pressure on them, and that may wind up being a help to them because, you know, Milwaukee, whenever they talk about the elite teams in the East, they always talk Philly, they'll talk about Boston and New York before they get to Milwaukee.
Yes.
A lot of that just has to do with the small market.
Philadelphia, Milwaukee,
Eastern Final?
Eastern Conference Final.
All the signs point to that. I do think that, like I said before, I do think that you're going to get an upset somewhere along the way, either in the East or the West, in the first round this year.
Well, there've been rumors that they're gonna reinstate the playing game. I do not like the way that went down.
You gotta remember they're also talking about having like a tournament in the mid season too, coming next year.
That's why I heard that. How they gonna do that?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think, look, they want to try to generate some excitement for the regular season. And, you know, Lord knows they need it because the regular season is pretty much a wash for the most part. Everything is contingent on the playoffs, especially, you know, when you have the play-in tournament as well. But, it's...
You know, there's an interesting way we can do this. And we do it in a bowling league. And what we do is we have a 36 league week, right? And we have split season. And the winner of the first half and the winner of the second half. And that's the champion of the league. I think the NBA could do that. It would work.
Yeah, we've seen it more on a minor league baseball level where they crown first half champions and crown second half champs. I guess it could be done. I mean, maybe they have to. I guess if they want to try to, you know, make the regular season meaningful, they're going to have to try something a little bit different.
Yeah.
Because the way it is now, you know, the regular season is it's funny because the NHL has always been accused of basically having an 80-game exhibition season to get ready for the playoffs.
Yeah. Wasn't there a league that tried that a couple of years, about 20, 30 years ago? Wasn't there a league that tried that? And
Well, more so in the minor leagues. We've seen it more so in minor league baseball, where they'll have a first half champion and a second half champion. Not so much in the major league sport. I mean, major league baseball, like the year of the 81 strike, they had the first half champs and the second half champs. And the only problem was the team that had the best overall record didn't wind up getting into the playoff that year. You still have to keep the integrity of the regular season to a certain extent. But yeah, they're trying to find a way to generate excitement for the regular season. Because I know myself, I don't really get into the regular season of the NBA until after February, or even sometimes after the NCAA tournament is over.
I don't watch basketball until after Christmas. And Christmas Day, for me, Christmas Day is like, okay, now I can talk about basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny because, they were thinking about...
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when eight teams are trying to get the last two spots in the Eastern or Western Conference. I think they got to take the game tonight. You got to steal a win on the road. Now they did that, and they did that against Philly. They did that against Pittsburgh, and I think it definitely led to them, winning that series. The Islanders have been sort of teasing folks for the last couple of years, where they've had, they're just as talented and just as whatever as many of the teams in the East, but they've always come up a little short. To me, the East is loaded this year with Boston, with the Islanders, with Carolina. It's going to make for a very, very interesting second half. I mean, second round. Because I think as much as I like the Islanders, I think probably the most balanced team may be Carolina. But they're going in with a rookie. They have a rookie goaltender.
Yeah, okay.
Well, the thing is, the only drawback to me is they have a rookie goaltender now. He's won his first three starts and everything, so he's proven legit. And let's face it, historically, we've always seen rookie goaltenders stand on their head during the playoffs and make a run. The thing about Carolina is they can play any style. I think with Boston, they're sort of one-dimensional. I think even the Islanders, even with all of their skaters, I think they're even sort of one-dimensional as well. I think, to me, Carolina, they can beat you in a lot of ways.
Their ass moved because they got Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay was scoring here in a second.
Tampa Bay's the champ. They're the champ till you beat them. So this is That's gonna be a very, very interesting series to watch because one would think that they would try to force their hand on Tampa, but it's not gonna be easy to do that because Tampa is very disciplined. Plus the fact now that they've actually won the thing, I think they go into this a little bit different because before, they had been so close, and then. They had their ups and downs, when they got knocked out in the first round, and then they finally, broke through last year. Now, there'll be some folks that will say, well, it was the COVID year, so maybe that's why. But, no, I think they've been one of the best teams in the NHL over the last 4 or 5 years, and they finally have the hardware to show for it now. So I think that's going to be, they just came off of a rough rivalry series with Florida, so it's gonna make for a very, very interesting Eastern conference.
I like the way the format is now because they gotta find a way to keep the format, but they have to find a way to play outside of the division because if you have a real weak division and you play in the division, you have no chance in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, they did it out of necessity, of course, because of the COVID, but in many ways it's worked out real well, I think. It's going to play out, and I think it's played out very well for the NHL because, you know, you can't, you know, with all the overtimes and the exciting play, you can't go wrong with, playoff hockey.
And also guaranteed a Canadian team is in the finals.
This way it is now.
Always guarantees at least one Canadian team in the finals.
Sure. It's kind of sad that folks haven't been able to physically see the games like here in the States. But I get it. You know, they're being cautious. And look, can't blame them for that.
I wonder if we're going to see the Olympic Games because Japan's going through another spike.
Yeah, that's a mess waiting to happen, at least to me.
Yeah.
And I think if one of these prominent athletes say, "Hey, I'm not going," that could blow up in their face. It really could.
Well,
intro that they used to play back in when they were in the heyday back in 1994. I wish they would bring it back because it really hits all the different elements. But the thing I was afraid about going into this series was that if they peaked too soon with that 10-game winning streak during the regular season, because they haven't, and it's not just Randall. You know, Randall Barnett has struggled. Defensively, they're still, you know, now granted, Atlanta's been shooting their face off with the threes.
Yeah.
I mean, last night was just...
And they can't continue to do that.
But you can't have Jalen Rose playing out of minutes, man. I don't understand that one.
I think he played too many minutes last night, too.
Well, to be honest with you, he was their best player last night. You know, I mean, I know you don't want him out there, but out of necessity, you know, let's put it this way. I think they definitely need to step up with the man rotation play in 10, because he usually plays about 9-10 guys anyway. But last night was more out of necessity because of the way the game was flowing. And
you think Randall was benched last night, T?
To a certain extent, because by that third quarter, that game was pretty much over.
You know,
and I think it was, and I think it was more again, I think it's more mental than anything else because, see, again, I was talking about Diaz earlier with the body language. His whole body language is really wrong. It's not right there. It's not there for whatever reason. He's not there isn't that fluidness and that confidence that he had. I mean, he's still hoisting up shots, but it's forced stuff now. It's really, really forced now.
And I
put it this way.
If I ever see that guy wearing an orange jacket, orange pants, I'm gonna run over myself.
Yeah. They're all, you know, we joked about the Atlanta fans coming out of the woodwork, but there's some Knicks fans that have come out, you know, pseudo fans that have come out of the woodwork. Different strokes for different folks. But see, again, just like game two, this past Wednesday, this is the most important game of the season because you're either going to be down 3-1 going back home or you're going to tie it 2-2 and then it becomes the best 2 out of 3. So they've got to, if nothing else, start off strong. They say that, to me, that's been the one, and I know it's something that they've been doing all year, but they've started off so slow in all three games. And not just, down 7 or down 13, there's only so much coming back you can do.
Let me say this for all the NBA fans. You better enjoy this while you got it, because next year, when Clay Thompson returns to the Golden State Warriors, I'm going to tell you, folks, it ain't going to be no joke. The Golden State Warriors are going to be a bad champion.
There's a lot of teams that, I mean, the Knicks are one of them as well, where they can add, they can add to the cap, and the biggest question now is, are they going to re-up Randall? I would, even with him struggling in the playoffs, because you don't get there without him. But we'll see how it plays out. I just, they have room to bring in a max player this year, and hopefully. Even if they do lose this series, it's been a good resurgence. And, my whole thing was I just wanted to get out the second round. If they could have gotten out the second round, fine. Anything else would be gravy. But, we'll see. I think the thing is, this is still a team in progress. There's still a work in progress with this team.
Well,
there's definitely more.
The LA Clippers cannot blame Doc Rivers for this one because LA Clippers are doing it all on their own this time. And I have to give Doc Rivers credit because he got Embiid and Simmons to play together. I can't wait to see this team, the Sixers. With Doc Rivers as the coach, it's a
very
different team now.
Yeah. Well, he's the difference maker for that team and for that franchise because Brett Brown has always left a lot to be desired, and that was the reason why they were sort of stuck in neutral. Now, they have the best record in the East. Teams have to come through Philly to win, I think the best is still yet to come for them. I don't think they've peaked yet.
What about Brad Stevens? I don't like Brad Stevens.
I've always felt like he was a bit of an overrated coach. I think Boston's window, Boston's window. I think you give Odom a. I'm sorry. You give Rozier his credit for another night, but I think their championship window is all but closed. I really do, because the East has gotten stronger. The East overall has gotten stronger with Milwaukee, with Philly, with Brooklyn. So it's they're, you know, unless they've got something in reserve, I think they're going to probably wind up losing maybe in like 5 or 6 to Brooklyn. And I think the question has to be asked about, you know, have they peaked under Stevens? Because remember, it wasn't that long ago they had the best record in the East and still got taken out by LeBron and the Cavs.
Well, Boston, growing up in New Jersey, being a New York Knickerbocker fan, dealing with ridiculous Boston Celtics fans for years, this is the end of the Boston Celtics. I really do. I think this is it for them.
Well, in
because
the NBA,
I mean, Tatum, once Tatum becomes a free agent, that's it.
You know, you get that 3 to 5 year window to win the NBA, and if you don't take advantage of it, you know, you literally have to start over again. And
the OKC Thunder, that's very hard.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And again,
do you believe that Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, and the Beard were all on the same team? That just blows my mind.
And they basically let 3 MVPs go, and you know they never did. You had that 3 to 5 year window to win, and if you don't take advantage of it, you know you become a lottery.
Westbrook blew my point again. Yeah, all the triple doubles you want. Yeah, triple doubles every day if you want to.
Yeah, but you know what, I'm sorry, Red.
Why is he gonna win?
Oh, I know that, but you see, Gary, the NBA and sports world owe Allen Iverson an apology when he said we're talking about practice. This is practice. This man, and I can prove that point. It was a certain coach at San Antonio Spurs that told Tim Duncan, "We need to do load management. I got to worry about you coming down the stretch and can't worry about you during the season. As long as we get in the tournament, we got it." What's going on now with the Clippers and other teams? Load management. Now, again, anybody knows Bubba Chuck, and it was the late Kobe Bryant, the ancestors, which said, and I quote, "You better be glad Allen Iverson is not 6'6" or 6'7". Because he was terrorizing the league. And with Westbrook, what he's doing with the triple doubles, he single-handedly put a sorry-ass team on his back and wheeled them to the tournament. Because they had no business making it. One for Westbrook, they wouldn't have made it. And I'll just say this. It wasn't me, or did a certain person with a beard in Boston go back to his old ways of being a black hole? And I'm saying, there ain't no way in the world the Celtics should have kicked their ass like that last night. Ain't no way.
Well, look, they were, you know, basically it was a one-man game last night. He took it on to himself. Now the key is going to be whether they can make it 2-2. That'll be the thing. If they're able to make, because by all rights, this series will probably should go maybe like 5 or 6, maybe. But you know, the funny thing is you got two coaches. To me, there's more pressure on the coaches to me than the players here, because Stevens is on borrowed time, and I think Nash, he's basically a neophyte here. If it comes down to them and Philly, I will definitely take Philly because they have the better coach.
Well, Nash has got one of the easiest, stay away.
Yeah, well, I'm Doc Rivers. I'm licking my chops because Andrew Tony and Nash on the bench versus Doc, I'll take Doc every time.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely.
And Tyronn Lue got them boys to get a foot out their ass, and they turned around last night, too.
Yeah, well, look, and the fact that they dragged this thing, it's just adds to it. I mean, everything is done for television,
But it's really even crazier now because of how they of how the things are formatted, and there's literally like almost a couple of days in between games. Because actually, the Knicks game three was supposed to have been today, but they changed it due to TV.
Yeah, thank God for the rest. But look, Milwaukee Bucks, they're going to be all damn near a week before they face the winner of the New Jersey Nets and the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then that long rest, a lot of times that long rest doesn't bode well.
No, it's not good. It's not good for anybody, no.
No, I don't think so.
Milwaukee Bucks. Oh, I still can't wait for that series. Milwaukee and Philadelphia. That's going to be one hell of a series.
Sure.
We'll see.
Absolutely.
I just want to see how Doc Rivers boxes out. How he goes to the team and defend Giannis. I'm a dingo. It's gonna be curious.
Absolutely.
And you all know that ABC, whatever they want, never Utah to win the thing. They would never Utah to win the West. Am I wrong?
The West is a crapshoot to me. I really, you know, I think it's a real crapshoot to be quite honest.
I don't trust the Clippers again. I mean, there's name it.
Well, I just think it goes, you know, then of all the major sports. You get that three to five year window to win, and if you don't take advantage of it, you either become a lottery team, or worse, you're a middle of the road team where you don't get any major draft picks, but you are good. It's like you're good enough to you're not good enough to make the playoffs, but you're not bad enough to get a lottery pick.
Yeah, well, they've been doing it for 10 years.
Well, yeah,
now.
Yeah. Yeah, well, again, they've had their window, and think about how much that remember, the Lob City team was supposed to have gotten to the finals. They could never get out of their own way in the Western Conference.
No.
Think of what the team was when Doc first got there, and look at what they are now. Are they really, I mean, technically, are they really that much better, or are they just about the same, where they have a decent mix of players, but they seem to just, you know, snake bit or what have you. They literally and figuratively can't get out of their own way in the postseason.
I remember 10 years ago when Blake Griffin. Yeah, I mean, they should have at least won.
Or at least got to a final. They never even got out of the Western Conference.
Oh.
That's the thing. I mean, even OKC got to a final. You know, that's the thing. You have to have at least gotten to a final.
I'm listening to you guys, and it's like, I want y'all to know I am in a time warp right now. I am stranded. It is 46 fucking degrees.
Yeah, 46. It's cold. Yeah,
it was 91
yeah.
degrees 3 days ago.
Uh-huh.
My body is going zippity.
Yeah.
In the Jersey.
Hey, Gag. It's 48 here. It's only 48 here in Connecticut. It's cold, man. I got my.
It's warmer. It's warmer. Oh my goodness.
No, it's always warmer in Cali than it is here. But
no, that's not, okay. People get the biscuit touches. In LA, yes. I've been
Well, Gary, before I go any further, please, I want to recognize your great work in putting in over 1,000 shows live in a living color. Much love and respect to you, my brother, and thank you for putting forth all this good stuff.
You're welcome. I hope we can do 1,000 more shows.
I hope so, too. But check this out. I'm finding it really intriguing how you talked about the NBA and the byplay between the teams. Now, Boston had an advantage, but just like you guys mentioned, their disadvantage is their coach. They made one smart move during their time, and that was getting Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum was a superior athlete, and he drove the opposition crazy. That was a good move, but that's been the only real significant move that they've made. Stevens, I think Tony said it right, he's been outclassed as a coach.
I don't know he was a good coach.
But remember, Doc's a former point guard. You know, Al Addles was a former point guard. Point guards just don't know what's going on in the court. They know what's going on outside the court,
Everywhere.
So I'm not surprised that Doc gave an immediate improvement to the Sixers. I'm just surprised that he didn't get his props a lot sooner, because that's how the world works. That's how the NBA works. I think Philly lucked up on this. I think they'll get at least one title out of Doc before sports become the way sports do. But, yes, I'm happy for him. And I think a Sixer Laker final, that would spark images of the old days. That definitely would draw some Haneys to the seats. So I would love to see that.
Yeah.
How do you think they're gonna deal with Giannis? How are they gonna defend Giannis?
Giannis is still one man. You can let Giannis get 40 and Bucks will still lose the game, you know. And I think if they do match up, that'll be a good example of what we've always seen. Back in the day, the rule used to be if you had a superstar player, I'd let him get his and shut everybody else out. And I think that might be what you'll see this time if the Bucks end up in a series against anybody, not just the Sixers.
I'm just glad Doc Rivers got L.A. because the Clippers are gone, man. They're a train wreck right now. Again.
Yeah. And you know, they still don't know if Kwame is going to come back. I mean, Kwawi is going to come back. Get my Kwawis and Kwames mixed up here. But I don't, you know, there's no guarantee about him coming back. And, you know, Paul George has seen his better days as well. And as much as I like Rajon Rondo, you know, how much more can you squeeze out of Rajon Rondo?
I give Rondo credit, though. He squeezed a lot out of his career to get at least the title and all the other good stuff. He's a no-nonsense kind of guy, and you need a certain mentality to understand him. So I always thought he really got a raw deal, although he seemed to be a bit eccentric sometimes during his career. He was always somebody that if you put him on the court, he will do his job. He'll rebound. He'll do whatever he needs to.
Hey, Mike. Yeah. How sweet was it to go back to Dallas and kick their ass yesterday?
Oh, hell yeah. You know, but this is what I love most about team sports.
Revenge.
You know a guy is badass when he says, I'm going to whip your monkey ass when the opportunity presents itself. That was the main reason I love Andrew Toney. Andrew Toney was a bad motherfucker, and he didn't give a shit. Boston, Bird, who the fuck are you? McHale, who the fuck are you? I'm going to light all your asses up. And that's exactly what he did. And that's why they called him the Boston Strangler. They knew This is one cat you could not mess with. You couldn't bump him. You couldn't harass him. He was going to light your ass up. And I love seeing players like that. William Andrews, remember him from the old Atlanta Falcons?
Yeah.
He was one of those guys. He used to torture my Eagles because he would just beat the crap out of them, running the ball up the middle and stuff like that. Every sport, we got guys like that who are just poison to a certain opposition. And I can't get enough of that because, you know, they are not just playing their ass off. They're proving to everybody, see, you should have took my ass, and now I'm going to make you pay for it. I love seeing stuff like that.
And it always seems to rear its head during the postseason.
Yeah.
You see outstanding performances during the playoffs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Some players, when the playoffs, you know, when the quote unquote big lights come on, they show
mm-hmm.
themselves out. You know, guys like, you know, Jimmy Butler, guys like LeBron and Rondo as well.
Yep.
But then
mm-hmm.
there's other ones that, you know, that they're still, that they're, you know, that they not cower, but they just, they, you know,
and
they.
You know what? Think about this, guys. If they had kept the New Jersey Nets, the old New Jersey Nets together,
mm-hmm.
they would have kicked butt of the NBA and they had kept that team together.
I like the lineup that had Super John, Keenan, of course, Doc. If they had been able to come into the league as is, they would have been formidable. They would have had to sacrifice Doc. But yeah, no, I agree. They really would have done well. We'll never know that.
Mm-hmm. And the NBA
yeah,
knew that. That's like,
remember how to give them over the Kentucky Colonels? I mean, they kept that team together. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
And then you had some guy named George, the Iceman Gervin. I mean, he said, I can shoot a jumper.
I really enjoyed the ABA.
I love the ABA. Yeah, it wasn't so much that it was different, but their approach to the game was a little different. There were guys who could play in any of those leagues. I would have loved to have seen what would happen to Willie Watts. He played with the Utah Stars, but he never had a chance to really show his skills in the ABA. He was an amazing player.
But I tell you one thing, Mike. Here in Richmond, Virginia, we had the Virginia Squires. They show you how racist Virginia was. These dumbasses here had the home base in Richmond, and that's when Dr. J met his wife from Richmond. Their assholes wouldn't come support him, so they had to hit the road show down in Norfolk.
Oh,
They both played for the
Squires. And look, the people didn't want to support him in Richmond. Mm-hmm. And they got the nerve to sit there and come up, we want an expansion team for a 17,000-seat arena that does now. Hell, you
can mm-hmm.
watch the hockey
years ago. The ABA, it was really weird because the CBS had the ABA. The ABC had the NBA at the time.
Mm-hmm.
CBS would broadcast their game at noon. It was at early noon on Saturdays. ABC broadcast their games on Sunday. In the old days.
Yeah. It definitely better for the basketball. But I would have loved to have seen open competition between ABA teams and NBA teams. That would have been intriguing.
Yeah. You know, only one NBA team that was NBA team as the San Antonio Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
The only one to win a title.
Yes. Yeah.
The New Jersey Nets have come back so close to me that I forgot to count back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
With the Jason Kidd team.
Yep, Kenyon Martin and Kerry Kittles and all of them. But they again, they had that too, and see the window, and see when the core of your team is a little bit older, that 3 to 5 year window almost becomes 1 to 3 years, and if you don't take advantage, and plus they were just in the wrong era because Kobe and Shaq, at least during that period of time, felt like playing.
Yep.
Play, or at least felt like playing together.
My nightmare is with John Smith going up against the Chicago Bulls rebounding
ball. You had to bring that up, didn't you?
I can't believe they didn't call a foul on Chicago. Gary,
textbook layup. He couldn't even do that.
Just dunk the fucking ball. And then you have to get a foul.
Yeah, I know.
And then the ref ball took over.
30 fouls in the game.
They should have arrested those referees for that game. That was a motherfucking crime.
I remember Ralph Nader tried to get a class action suit and all that other stuff. It was like, it was crazy. It was not so much Game 7, but Game 6, when there was a couple of blatant fouls, and they didn't call them.
Number of years ago, you had design, but when did you realize that, okay, I can do this, and the process became easier?
It was about year three. Mm-hmm. It was the year that you guys were going, okay, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until I questioned it. The first 2 years, I really questioned it. I'll try it for another year and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that third year was a turning point because, Tony came on and you came on. it became a failure for that third year. I said, okay, mm-hmm. I can do this now.
All right.
Yeah, it's confident. You know, that's the thing. You know, being comfortable in what you want to do and how you express it. It takes time. It takes time.
Well, it took me almost three. But first of all, there was an issue of breathing. When you're a cerebral palsy, you have to learn to breathe to make your voice a clear voice.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Reggie said, you can tell I get real bad.
Oh, right.
So, the reason why, like a man, I'm breathing deeply, so it's very clear.
Mm-hmm. I used to get tickled over the fact that when you were angry, you spoke clear as a fucking bell. Welcome to the great little pool, man. And it was like, look, this is what we're talking about today. And I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah. That was most enjoyable for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was all through my childhood, but the breathing issue. Once I got over the breathing stuff, okay, we can do this.
So, of course, we can't talk about you without talking about Ma Gray. How did she look at things when she realized you were doing this show and we were trying to cause trouble?
That was interesting because she was always online everything anyway.
Uh-huh.
I said, why would you just do the internet? You're on here anyway. And she said, I don't know if I want to do that. But once she did it a couple times,
mm-hmm.
she said, oh, I can do this. And yeah. And then I couldn't get her off. Couldn't get her off.
Mm-hmm. Created a monster.
Yeah. And yeah, even in the last couple of years, she wanted to do the show, but she couldn't see the words that well.
Oh, okay.
That's
why it became a problem with her, because she couldn't see the script. If I had a computer, I would have got her bigger lettering, but I wasn't there.
Uh-huh. We're glad that Ma had fun. We definitely love having her there. Keep an eye on it.
I got a picture of you guys at the restaurant with my uncle, Auntie Juliet.
Oh, yeah. That was when Tony came down to the barbecue.
Red Lobster.
I loved it. Your mom had a great sense of humor. Your mom had a great sense of humor. When we were there, getting ready to go to the restaurant, I called you up and I said, we're kidnapping your mother and holding her for ransom at the restaurant. And I looked at your mom and she said, say help. And she went, help.
Yeah, she had. I don't know who enjoyed that more, her or us.
Yep.
Yeah.
Got to remember.
You became her adopted son. I mean, you became her adopted son.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely
and he wanted to get back on his soap. He wanted to get back on his soap, man.
We all had our moments.
I'm gonna get myself. Okay,
Mom. I know she did what she did out of love. That's for damn sure. That made me feel even greater and even sadder when she was gone. But I know she's keeping an eye on us, and no shit, I got my bar of soap right next to the computer. If I'm getting angry, Yes. Tomorrow night, this is going to be, and for Tony, it seems like a long time, but this will be the final weekend of the Big Bake Tournament. We started with groups over a year ago. We went to single performers, ladies, and then the men. We went through 84 male artists in this tournament. And none of them disappointed. We had some wonderful surprises. We had some good stuff. And now it's down to the great stuff. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m., Marvin Jr. of the Dells and Marvin Gaye will go at it on the music box. And at 9 p.m., we finish up with a battle for Stax Records. Otis Redding versus Isaac Hayes. And guys, y'all don't want to miss both of those shows. It's going to be a great tribute. And at the end of it all, we'll find out our final four males, and they'll go up against our final four females, Aretha Franklin, Tina Marie, Chaka Khan, and Sade, in a series of shows, command performances that I know you guys will dig. And after that, Gary will be playing his Able Disabled concert. There'll be a lot of good music coming along.
Yep.
I give Tony a lot of credit for setting the tone every day with the little items that he picks up, these little videos every now and then. Our site is a really great site because of the work that everybody has put in, and we're looking forward to doing more. We want to expand. We want to do music as well as sports. We'll see what we can do about that. We got a couple of ideas that we're going to put into effect, but I just want to say thank you to everybody for their support. Thank you to Gary for 1,000 shows, and here's to 1,000 more.
Michael, do you know how the music box started? When the music box started, it was after Whitney Houston had passed away, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking, okay, Whitney Houston, who's going to do a Whitney Houston show? You know, who's going to do a show with her, right?
together that would play just hip-hop, and then people were getting annoyed at the fact that, well, okay, if you're playing an artist, you gotta also get credit for where they sampled from. And they didn't want to do that because a lot of black musicians were getting paid. I've always used PE's Going to the Terradome as that perfect example. There are about 30 musicians who got paid from Terradome, and most of them are black. And it was because of the samples they used, from Instant Funk to Cool and the Gang to James Brown.
James Brown got a lot of it.
Well, that's just it. You know, that was too much, instead of too much power, that was too much money for those brothers to have. They had to find a way to co-opt that too.
All right.
That's definitely something for the fall.
All right, D-Mac. Well- last word, my brother. Tony, you there? Did we leave it, Tony?
Oh, here.
Unless he's making a sense.
No, I'm still here.
For the last week, for the last word.
Well, you know, like I said earlier, you know, this is, again, just like game two the other night. This is the most important game of the season for the Knicks. They're either going to go back down home 3-1 or have the series come down to the best 2 out of 3. So, you know, I hope everybody shows up.
You ain't the only one.
Yep.
I got to give, I got to give a salute to the evil empire. I know, Tony. But the evil empire might win the American League East again with them.
They got to, you know, much like how the Padres have to prove they can beat the Dodgers when it counts, they've got to prove that they can beat Tampa when it counts.
Yeah. And this will be the first time I believe that Tampa might get in real trouble this year.
And to be fair, the wild card in this is Boston, because Boston's leading that division. You know, I didn't expect much out of Boston this year, but
no.
You know, it just shows you what good pitching will do, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I believe that Major League pitching is way ahead of Major League hitting this year because there have been seven winners this year, which is already record already.
Yep. And I'll go on record as saying I would definitely count Bumgarner's one.
It ain't his fault
that they have to do seven inning doubleheaders this year.
No shit.
All right, gentlemen. I will see you tomorrow night.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for
my
1,000th
no problem.
Show. I hope we get 1,000 more.
Absolutely. You take care, Gary.
All right. We're going to do a salute to the Bronx Bombers. We're going to do a salute to them. And we'll be off the air.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it, New York, New York. I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep and find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap. These little town blues are melting away. I'll make a brand new start of it in old New York. If I can make it there, I'll make it anywhere. It's up to you, New York. We'll be right back.
plays of the WNBA, the New York Liberty and the Connecticut Sun are 5-1 records going into the middle of the season. Seattle is trying to dethrone the Las Vegas Aces with a 4-1 record in the West. On Monday night, the New York Liberty roll as they with rookie Sabrina Ionescu beat the Dallas Wings 88-81 for their fifth straight victory. Washington beat Indiana 85-81. Medina Charles scored 30 points in the WNBA. Atlanta beat Chicago 90-83. Tiffany Hayes gets 28 points in their victory. Seattle beat Connecticut Sun 90-87 as a team effort. Wednesday, Jackie Young carried the Aces to the 85-35 win. Thursday, Zenity Carter and Tiffany Hayes carried the Atlanta Dream to victory over the Dallas Wings 101-90-95. There you go for WNBA, HBCUs, ESPN2 will broadcast the Orange Bowl Classic. Prairie View Golf Team has added to the NCAA regionals after winning a swank title. Congratulations to Prairie View. The Battle of North Carolina will open the football season for HBCUs as the Aggies take on the Eagles. The Aggies of North Carolina A&T meet the Eagles of North Carolina Central. Garmin State Joseph Simone wins the 100-yard, 100-meter, and 200-meter heats at the NCAA this year. The Aggies and Rock A&T send 27 tribe members to the NCAA regionals. That's your HBCU news. More Southern wins the SWAG title, the SWAG baseball title, as a victory over Jackson State. North Carolina Central wins the MEAC baseball title over Delaware State. Talladega Tornadoes will be playing in their new stadium next year. NCAA Women's College World Series continues. They're on ESPN now and tomorrow. The ladies are in the regional finals. Regional finals of the College World Series. The College Football Bowl is scheduled without, and nobody cares. We got to get to the other sports. Like golf. And everything golf. Here we go. Golf. The PGA is back. Madison Bay is back with Tom Brady and Rodgers. We'll be July 6th with Phil Mickelson and Bryson DeChambeau. Tiger Woods is going through a rehab and the car crash. Last week they were in South Carolina for the PGA Championship and Phil Mickelson wins. Took an early lead and became the oldest to win at 50 years old and the longest drought in 16 years between victories. Phil Mickelson, congratulations. This week they're at the Texas with the Charles Schwab Classic. LPGA, Princeton University grad Molly Simon will be the new LPGA commissioner in 2021. They're playing, last week they played in the Pure Silk Championship at Williamsburg, Virginia. And Taiwan's Wei Lin Xu wins her first major by 2 strokes. Congratulations to Taiwan, Wei Lin Xu, beating Thailand Moria Jordan. This week they're the Bank of Hope Master Play in Las Vegas, Nevada. Last week in WTA, the men were in Italy, Serbia, and Paris, while ladies were in France. This week is the French Open. Also this week, Coco Graf wins both the preliminaries and the Parma titles. He wins both of them. The singles and doubles. Coco Graf is ready to play. NASCAR. Last week it was Circuit of America, so all the Texas and Chase Elliott wins. This week is the Coca-Cola 600 in Concord, North Carolina. Tomorrow, the Coca-Cola 600 in Concord, North Carolina for NASCAR. IndyCar, of course, is the Indy 500 tomorrow. You mean Elvis, Indiana, the granddaddy of them all, as they go around for 2.5 hours in Indianapolis. Formula One. Last weekend, they were in Monaco, and Hamilton tried to go for a 3-peat. Max Verstappen ended that with another victory, the first victory of Monaco. Lando Norris. We're coming third place. And the Mercedes-Benz team did not get a podium as Valtteri Bottas went out with car failure and Hamilton finished 7th. Lewis Hamilton was not happy with his car, not happy with his team, and not happy with himself. So you better watch out next week when Hamilton go for another title. This week they're off. Next week they're in Italy. And that's it for the there we go. Tomorrow night, Marvin Gaye against Marvin Jr. tomorrow night. There we go. Also, yeah, the White Sox championship on Sunday Wrong after my show. So stay tuned. Have a good evening. Have a good night. See you next week. Same bad time. Same bad